Welcome to the First Baptist Barberville Weekly Sermon Podcast. At FBC Barberville, our mission is to gather, grow, give, and go. Join us for live worship on the Court Square in Barberville, Kentucky, or to learn more about our church, visit fbcbarberville.com. Here is Pastor Tyler Shields.
Christmas offering goes directly to the mission field. 100% of those funds go to help those who maybe are in harm's way and serving as our missionaries around the world. Let's give these wonderful folks another round of applause. Miss Carabeth, all of these kids, singers, puppeteers, Miss Elizabeth on the harp. Wonderful, wonderful job. Well done. Again, thank you so much for being here with us this morning. Last Sunday, I had to be away, and Brother Jacob did a wonderful job. It was his Sunday morning debut here at First Baptist Church, and he did an excellent job. He's actually away again this weekend, preaching somewhere else, and he'll be back with us soon. But he preached from Acts chapter 26, which captures Paul's personal testimony of what God had done in his life. And we're blessed to have both the narrative of what happened to Paul, and then later Paul actually telling himself, telling others of what happened to himself when Christ intervened in his life on that road to Damascus. And so as far as the timeline goes, from then, Paul's ministry continues, at least in one form or another, and he is imprisoned and held in house arrest in Rome for the first time as he awaits for an audience with Caesar. And so while under arrest, Paul continues to be Paul. He continues to do ministry. He continues to encourage the churches. He continues to write various letters to the churches and to people. And during that first stint of house arrest, we have at least four letters we know that Paul wrote, of which we have copies. One was what we call the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, the book of Philemon, and also the book of Philippians. And I want us to look at the book of Philippians this morning in chapter 1, because as Paul, really, he's nearing the end of his life at this point and the end of his ministry. And at this stage, Paul has this attitude I think that we need to grasp. It's an attitude that would be very beneficial for us even today, because he's beginning, I think, to really understand what life and ministry is all about, and what his purpose really is, having now served Christ all this time. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Paul says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ. Most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dare even speak the word fearlessly. To be sure, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. These preach out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, thinking that they will cause me trouble in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Only that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, because I know this will lead to my salvation through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Now notice what he says. "My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now as always with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I am torn between the two. I long to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Since I am persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that, because of my coming to you again, your boasting in Christ may abound. So the Apostle Paul helped establish and plant the church in Philippi during his second missionary journey. It was actually the first church in or on the European continent. So that's fairly important, especially for most of us who came out of European ancestry. It was primarily a Gentile church, or a church that didn't really have a lot of people with a Jewish background. And for the most part, it was a very healthy, strong, and even generous church that supported the Apostle Paul various times throughout his ministry. And as this church was aware of what was going on with Paul at this point in life, Paul sits down and he takes the time to write to them. And if you'll notice, his tone throughout the letter to the Philippians is much different than his tone to, say, the Corinthians or the Galatians. It's much more encouraging and less critical, because this was such a healthy church. But through his writing, Paul gives them, and really us today, some very, very encouraging words as he explains his life and his circumstances. And I think there's a lot of application in what Paul is getting to at this point for us. Paul's focus in this passage is very clear. Notice what his whole thought is: the advancement of Christ's gospel, proclaiming Christ and preaching the good news. For us, there's four quick lessons that are relevant for this Christmas season as we think about the idea that it's all about Him. It's all about Christ. Because I'll be honest with you, even for Christians, even for me, sometimes it's easy to make Christmas about everything but Christ. But it's not about Santa Claus and elves, and it's not about even family dinners and church plays. It's not about gifts and presents and decorations, as fun as all that is. It's all about Christ. This morning, the Apostle Paul gives us these four lessons. The first one is this: my purpose is in Christ. It's found in Christ. Again, Paul, at this stage, being imprisoned and having very limited freedom, has the time to sit down and contemplate his life and look back over his life, especially the last several years of serving and following Christ obediently. And I think the Apostle Paul has realized that his entire purpose, his entire life's purpose, was finally found in Christ and making Christ known and advancing Christ's gospel. You see, the Apostle Paul, if you study his life, Paul was a very purpose-driven, task-oriented person. I like that. I like the Apostle Paul. However, before meeting Christ on that road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul was trying to find purpose in everything but Christ. He tried to find purpose in his pedigree. He tried to find purpose in his religion. He tried to find purpose in doing things that he thought was good and worthwhile. And as purposeful as he may have been, even at those early years of his life, he was living for the wrong purpose. Can anybody relate to that? One or two honest people. Thank you. Now, today, Rick Warren and myself don't really agree on a whole lot, but we do agree on this. Your purpose in life, your purpose, it's not about you. It's about Christ. Your purpose is all about Him and can only be found in Him. Paul says, everything that's happened to me, all the setbacks, this imprisonment, being under constant guard, having my freedom stripped away from me, all of this has actually been somehow part of God's purpose for me in advancing the gospel and making Christ known. Somehow God has orchestrated all of these minute details of my life in such a way that I don't even know how, but it's all worked together for my good and for the glory of God in Christ's kingdom. And we have to learn how to live this way, and how to view life this way. That if we live for Christ, and we're following Christ, and trying to be obedient to Him, and if we allow Him to be the central purpose of our lives, and to be our top priority, well, we'll find that He can actually use all of these things in our lives, and somehow, in His infinite wisdom, work them all together for our good, and for His glory. And folks, when we come to that understanding, it makes a radical difference in the way that we live and in our lives. And here's why. Christ can take all of it. All of these different parts and pieces of your life. He can take your past. He can take your pain. He can take your plans and your ambitions. He can take your failures and your triumphs. And somehow he can use them for something that advances his gospel and builds his kingdom. The Apostle Paul was finding this out. And like Paul, we can hopefully and prayerfully someday look back over the course of our lives and maybe even begin to explain how it all worked together. We can see all these little pieces of the puzzle coming together in a good way. But I want you to know this very clearly this morning. No other purpose, no other reason to live will allow you to do that. Anything apart from Christ will not only leave you unsatisfied with life, but it'll leave you confused. It'll leave you discouraged. It may even leave you afraid, because apart from him, life just doesn't make sense. You can't figure out why is this happening apart from him. So how do I find my purpose in Jesus? Well, it starts by honestly just surrendering your life to him. To stop doing things your way and turning it all over to King Jesus. Secondly, Paul teaches us that my praise, it's not for me, but my praise is for Christ. So notice what he starts saying there in verse 15. He says, Christ is being preached, albeit some people preach Christ for vain reasons. And then rather than being upset with this, Paul says, hey man, what's it matter anyway? All that really matters to me, regardless of their motives, is that Christ is being preached, that Christ is being proclaimed. And as long as Christ is proclaimed, Paul says, I can rejoice. Now, it would seem that taking the Apostle Paul off of the field and out of the fight would really hinder the gospel efforts of the church, right? But it doesn't. It actually bolsters them. People start doing the work that maybe Paul had been doing. They're encouraged by Paul's faith and even his obedience while he's in prison. The brothers, Paul says, are encouraged by what's happened to him. And Paul, because he knows that this life's not all about him, but it's all about Jesus, is actually okay with others getting credit for the work that's getting done. What a lesson we need to learn in that, right? He wants Christ to be glorified, not Paul. He wants Jesus to be lifted high. And so it seems to me that Paul, this headstrong, again, task-oriented person, somehow has learned a valuable lesson in what we call humility. Something that he'll really describe in great detail in chapter 2 of Philippians, this Christ-like humility. And we can only live this way with this kind of Christ-like attitude. First, if we're content with our purpose that we find in Christ and not in self. How desperate does our culture need that lesson today? We crave constant praise. We crave constant affirmation and constant acknowledgement and constant attention. You say, now, Pastor, no, that ain't me. Well, just this morning, how many times have you checked your Facebook and Instagram to see how many likes you got or how many followers you got? When somebody else gets more likes on their Bible verse than we do, we can't help but get just a little bit jealous, right? Or their silly cat video gets more likes than the actual good thing we put out there. Or heaven forbid, another church or another pastor or another ministry gets a little more attention and recognition than we get. But when it's not about us, and when we refuse to make everything about us, there is a freedom in that. And when it's not about you, you can begin to live in this freedom of, it's not just not caring what people think, it's so much deeper than that. It's a freedom of not needing that constant, shallow affirmation just to keep going forward. And you come to a point where you can begin to reorient any praise or recognition that was once aimed at you toward your Savior. And be thankful that Christ is being proclaimed, even if it's by somebody else. that the gospel's going forward, that his name is being lifted high, even if it's not from you and you're not getting credit for it. Praise God for them. Thirdly, very importantly, my presence, my very existence is about Christ. Paul begins to wrestle with his, not just his life, but his existence in this world. And I think that Paul has this feeling, again, that his life is probably reaching its end very soon. And he understands either way, if he lives or he dies, that his presence, either here on this earth or in heaven with Jesus, is all about Jesus. I love what he says. He says, I want Christ to be highly exalted and honored in my body, whether by life or by death. He says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He's saying, folks, if I continue to live, guess what? I'm going to be living for Jesus. I'm going to be working for Jesus. I'm going to be doing something to preach and proclaim Jesus with my every breath that God gives me. But if I die, guess what? I get to go and be with Jesus and to worship and praise and honor Jesus face to face forever and ever and ever. And you have to think, folks, at this juncture in life, Paul's probably getting a little bit tired. Have you ever just been tired? Y'all ain't working hard enough then. I get tired. And I think Paul was tired. He's been through a lot. He's done a lot. He's accomplished a lot. Paul has endured a lot over the course of his life and ministry. And he admits, he says, I'm a little bit torn about what might be best. He says, I long to depart and to be with Christ. But I know if I stay here, I know there's work to be done. If God allows me to live, I know that there's somebody else that needs to hear about Jesus. I know there's another church that needs some help, that needs strength, that needs encouraging, some other nation that needs to hear the gospel. And I wonder, could we ever get to the point in our sanctification, in our walk with Christ, that we're so certain of our purpose in Him that everything that we do and everything that we say and everything that we think and all of our heart's ambitions, they just revolve around Christ and making Christ known in every part of our lives. To think that not only our lives and the work that we allow God to do through us, but just our very presence in somebody else's life might make a difference, might leave behind just a little bit of Christ when we leave. Folks, there are people, there are so-called Christians and church members whose very presence only leaves behind anger and frustration, sometimes humiliation. And they're supposed to be Christ ambassadors. There are people who, when you see them coming, and you know it happens. I'm just saying what everybody's thinking. There are people, you see them coming,
dear Lord, here comes so-and-so.
Right? Or they ring your phone and you see their name, you're like, kind of busy right now. It happens. God help us, because it's not supposed to be that way. I would hope that even if we're only in someone else's life for 30 seconds, that in that moment God gives us, somehow, some way, we'd give them just a little bit of Jesus. Just if it's just a glimpse. Paul says, my entire existence is about Him. Whether I live or whether I die, whatever happens to me, whatever I do, it's all about Christ. Like that wonderful saint to Ireland, St. Patrick, prayed a similar thing. He said, it's all about Him. It's Christ with me. It's Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ on my right. Christ on my left. Christ where I lie. Christ where I sit. Christ where I arise. He said, it's Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks about me. It's Christ in the mouth of everyone that speaks to me. It's Christ in the eye of everyone that sees me, and Christ in the ear of everybody that hears me. It's all about Christ. And the question for us this morning, we have to answer sincerely, is what's coming out of our life? What do people gain from being in your presence? Are they better off having been around you for a little while, or are they worse off than they were before? Do they dread you, or do they welcome you because every time you show up, you bring a little bit of Jesus with you? A little bit of hope, a little bit of love, a little bit of light in what was a dark place. That's the way it should be. Lastly, this morning, my peace, it comes from Christ. Paul says, I'm persuaded of this. And in the Greek language, it's very firm, completely certain. Paul is convinced that he's going to be around just a little bit longer, just a few more days to labor before he gets to go home and be with the Lord. But again, he's not staying on earth for his own sake, but for others. There's more work to be done. There's more proclaiming the gospel of Christ that needs to take place. There's more brothers and sisters that need to be ministered to. And as Paul has now wrestled with his circumstances and with his future, he has this sense of peace about him. You can pick it up as you read through this, that Paul's not worried about anything. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's not a natural thing for a man to feel this way. It's a supernatural peace that only comes from God. It's a peace that is content with this life and all the circumstances this life may bring. But not only that, it's a peace that's also content with death and the glory that comes with that and being able to be in the very presence of Christ for all of eternity. Paul would say, maybe you're familiar with the song, I'm a winner either way. If I go, or if I stay. You see, Christmas is a season of not just joy and celebration, but it's a season of peace. As those angels proclaimed 2,000 years ago, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Why? Because now the Prince of Peace has come, not only to be born and for God to now dwell with man, but for this Prince of Peace to now grow up and make peace between God and man. So folks, we could just have a chance at eternal life. And I can tell you this morning, if you're a Christian but you're not living for Christ, if you're not finding your purpose in Christ and you're not orienting your life around Christ and you're not driven by what you can do for Christ and your love for Christ, you're not going to have this kind of peace. And more than that, if you're not a Christian yet, and I say yet because you can be, but if you're not yet a Christian, then you're never going to have this peace until you meet Jesus. Because this kind of peace, this supernatural peace that you can't even wrap your mind around, this peace that is brings you stillness in the middle of life's storms, is a peace that's only found in Christ. Paul himself would tell you everything else is worthless. He tried it. Religion couldn't bring him that kind of peace. It can't bring you that kind of peace. Church, and as wonderful as all of our church things are, cannot bring you that kind of peace. Good deeds and good works are not going to bring you that kind of peace. Not true peace in your heart. Not peace with your Creator. That only comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ and by placing your faith in Him and turning your entire life over to Him. Would you stand with us as we pray? Father, this morning we thank you for Jesus. God, this is the time of year that we pause and celebrate the greatest gift that has ever been given. And God, there's children, there are people that are probably going to receive some wonderful Christmas gifts in the coming weeks. But it's nothing like the gift of Jesus. And God, if there's someone here that's never received Him, Lord, give them that faith this morning. Give them the faith to just step out and say, you know what? I am tired of doing this my way. I've tried my way long enough and it's not getting me where I need to be. I need purpose. I need peace. I need a Savior. And God, if there's a Christian here that's still been clinging on to our ambitions and our way of life. Lord, help us to lay all that down. Help us to have that resolve that the Apostle Paul had, that just focused everything in life and even death on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we sing a song of invitation, if you'd just like to come, if you want to come and pray about God's purpose for your life, we'd be more than glad to pray with you. If you need to come this morning and you need to make a decision like being saved, why don't you come as we sing this song of invitation?
Thanks for listening to the Weekly Sermon Podcast. Please subscribe, but also join us live in person on the Court Square in Barberville, or find us on YouTube by searching FBC Barberville, on Instagram at @First_Baptist_Barberville, on Twitter at @BarbervilleFBC, or on our Facebook page, First Baptist Barberville.